a consensus. Well, there is no consensus in science. Science isn't a vote. Science is about facts. And if you get down to the hard, cold facts, there's no question about it. Climate change is not happening. There is no significant man-made global warming now. There hasn't been any in the past, and there's no reason to expect any in the future.
You have to wanna be there for your people.
Put it right there.
Yeah. This is a podcast going on, you know what I'm saying?
John here doing my favorite thing on a Sunday afternoon. You're listening to the American Freedom and God Podcast. Presented by JPF and Associates and the JohnPFox.com training portal and classroom, where we share commentary, wisdom, and counsel. This is a weekly podcast show. Thank you for tuning in. Leaders who smash and grab. Major cities, businesses closed. People rush in and just take everything, stealing from the business, causing it to close. Seen extensive video of the current status of these cities. We're talking about LA, we're talking about New York, several other cities. Hannity today on Trump trial with Jonathan Turley. Mark Levin, the truth about protests. It's not the students with the mush for brains that organized this. You know, like Rush Limbaugh used to say, mush for brains. Greg Laurie, the refreshment of the spirit in times of trial. Today's hope message, guys, Dr. Sten Ekberg, high on magnesium foods that you need to eat, especially when you're trying to switch everybody over to bugs, you know, things like that. Subscribe to the podcast, guys, over at johnpfox.com. All right. How's everybody doing? Welcome to another episode of the American Freedom and God Podcast with your host, John P. Fox and Debbie.
Hello.
Don't forget to smack that bell, Debbie.
Oh.
This is episode 129. I think it is 129. Yeah. Last week was 128. You guys can always confirm what episode it is when you get to the wherever you get your podcast. It'll say on there. All right, guys. Today's title: The Leaders Who Smash and Grab. And so we'll just kind of go into that in this monologue for a little bit. I'm talking about what just happened in Congress. So they passed a bill to send $96 billion of taxpayers' monies to other places. And there's nothing being done about our border. And basically what's going on is your Congress and others that are in charge of things and are in charge of this country are smashing and grabbing all your money and giving it away and putting it in their own pockets. Now, I can't substantiate how they're getting it into their own pockets, but we did substantiate that there's this long list of names in Congress who all have something like 65 million, 84 million, 23 million, 46 million. I mean, I read it the other day. I didn't go and fact check that, but it's not surprising because for the last 8-10 years, I've been hearing about how rich congressional people get. They have all these millions of dollars. But tax paying for that position of being a representative or a senator doesn't pay that kind of money. Mm. And so what are they? They're just out making businesses on the side, maybe, Debbie? What do you think they're doing to get all that money?
I think that, and I think they have insider stock tips. They know what's going on. They buy stock.
No, they could be that.
In the husband's name, the wife's name, yeah. The kids' names. I mean,
well, we know Nancy Pelosi recently did that. It was in the news. It leaked, you know, even if it wasn't intended. You're not going to hear about something like that on the mainstream media, but we did hear that Nancy Pelosi bought a bunch of stock of I forget what exact company it was, guys, what ticker or whatever, but I do know she bought a bunch of stock because she knew something that nobody else knew and cashed in big time when that stock suddenly went way up. So we're just kind of covering that, but see, what's happening is when you go against your people, your constituents, and you want to send money to Ukraine anyway, and you're even waving a Ukrainian flag on the House floor or Senate floor, that is just, it's a gut punch to the people who call themselves Americans.
That was outrageous.
So, the leaders who smash and grab. It is no different than what we were seeing. I was seeing it in the videos recently, over the last 4 or 5 years. People would go and smash their way in, take all the clothes and all the merchandise off the shelves and, you know, anything, anything. They've taken it all and just in big mobs and running out the front doors with it, whether the store owners liked it or not. And so, not long after that, they just closed down. So we have easy on crime people like Alvin Bragg, you know, in the position of attorney general for that town. And it, nobody's getting arrested for that. That's not something that they feel like is a problem. So they're allowed to just smash and grab and clean out a store. No one cares. And, there are people that get on camera and they're really grieving about it. There are people that care, but you can't get anything done when your leaders don't care.
You know,
so it's really, really sad.
You know, it just makes me wonder, why would they not prosecute these people and they put all their focus on Donald Trump? Why are they so afraid of Donald Trump?
I think the people are starting to wake up that there is something. You know what happens? Evil surely destroys itself. It's just a matter of time. And so the people are waking up and they're saying, wait a minute. At first, I thought that this Donald Trump had some real issues and was kind of like into his own little crimes and he's getting found out. Now I'm starting to think differently.
Right. Like now maybe they're all the criminals.
Maybe somebody else is up to something.
He's kind of like Bruce Wayne.
And Trump was just exposing it.
Right.
So let's just go ahead and find a crime. And you're going to see today with the soundbite when we get to the Hannity Trump trial, you're going to see that they really don't have any crimes for Donald Trump. It's just that they got to keep saying there is. And they got to keep making him look like a criminal. And they've got to show you his worst profile shots, you know, on the TV screen. And they got to show you at his worst moments, you know.
Yeah, when they're the real criminals. When
they're the ones doing it. But, you know, the point I'm trying to make is when we get to that soundbite, you're going to see that the reality of this stuff. All it takes is a few that see it the other way to start helping the people to see it the other way. So if you're listening to mainstream news, all you're going to hear is how bad Trump is. But when it comes right down to it, they can't really find anything wrong with his documents. They can't find anything wrong with the stuff he's been indicted about. So what they're doing is they're indicting him, and then they still don't really know what to charge him with. But let's start the trial anyway, but we still don't really sure what a crime is yet. And we're going to go ahead and do proceedings anyway. Alvin Bragg, what is the opening argument? Well, Alvin Bragg, I don't know. I'm going to get somebody else in there that Joe Biden sent. We'll let him do the opening arguments, and we'll see if we can find a crime somewhere along the way. But what did you charge him for? Well, we didn't really actually charge him for anything in particular. And, are we in a non-biased courtroom? No, you're in a very partisan courtroom. Democrats, all Democrats. Guys, I'm going to ask you not to vote Democrat. That's about all I can do. It's kind of like when people offer investment advice, they really can't offer investment. They can't tell you what to invest in, but they can say the words, you know, what they think is good. And so that's all I can do. Don't give them your vote. If you do, you're giving your vote to the enemies. Now, maybe you want to. That's something that's up to you to understand. But in this podcast, we're going to tell you exactly why I would even say something like that. Major cities' businesses are closed, guys. I just watched an extensive video last night. Went on for about an hour and a half. This gentleman put on a GoPro and started walking around the streets of New York. And he took his time. He must have been exhausted. He went like 30 blocks on foot.
I'm surprised he wasn't scared to death.
And
I would have been.
Well, I mean, basically all he was encountering, it was daylight, all he was encountering was mostly the homeless and the tents. The entire 30 blocks that he walked of New York was nothing but homeless people in tents. Not a business was open. Not a one. If they needed to go grab a Gatorade somewhere, they couldn't. They would have to walk very far to get that Gatorade, or somebody would have to ship it to them if they even have an address. So there was nothing open, period. And every building, no matter how many floors tall, and believe me, they were tall, was painted over with spray paint. So there was it must have closed a long time ago because they had plenty of time to come and paint them all up. Nobody wants to lease these buildings. Many of them had for lease signs up on the wall, which was also painted over.
Yeah, but nobody in their right mind would lease
that. Yeah. They're just like desperately saying, hey, I'll move in here and be overtaken.
They're collapsing our cities from the inside out. It's collapsing our cities.
And the district attorneys and the attorney generals really don't do anything about it because they're not about that. They're about political outlooks on virtually everything they do.
Well, look at the law in California. You're legally allowed to steal how much without even being prosecuted? What is it, $1,000?
$1,000, something like that, yeah. So I'm going through this observation, and then I guess, you know what, I'm going to watch one more because this is going to be something that I can talk about on the podcast tomorrow morning. And so I'm watching one more. Now they're in L.A.
Oh.
Same thing. Exact same thing as New York. He went 30 blocks. This guy was walking too. He had a camera guy with him, so you could tell by the angles. And they were literally just taking you for a walk in L.A. Gavin Newsom's state of California is in shambles in most places. For anybody that's not an elite or a Silicon Valley tech giant, with an awesome job of at least $150,000 or better per. If anybody doesn't have that, they are among those tent cities and those homeless guys who can't afford stuff. And that was evident.
I think this is the beginning of what it looks like when you wipe out the middle class. You will just have extremely poor and extremely rich. And if you look at those videos, it's right there in your face.
Yeah, and the reason that's capable of happening is the word money. So the money is in the hands of those who want to see that happen.
Right.
And you can say guys like George Soros, which everybody goes to first. But I'm saying these monies are in the hands of elites. They're in the hands of oligarchs. They're in the hands of people who pay for other people to do these things to the American economy.
Right.
They're absolutely paying them to do this. And the persons doing it, perpetrators, are saying, I'm going to get how much money? Just as long as I do that. But I know it's going to hurt pig farming or whatever, but if I do it, I get how many? Thousands and hundreds of thousands of dollars? Yeah, I'll absolutely do that. And we'll get that done. They're paying that to groups of people.
Yeah.
Large amounts of money to go and destroy, take down, and infiltrate so that they can eventually conquer. So it's being done primarily with money. And at the same time, they're using these millions and billions of dollars to infiltrate and destroy the economy of the Americans. That at the same time they're doing that, that money itself is depleting. The value of each and every one of those billion dollars is becoming less and less and less. So basically what I'm saying is the inflation. When you go into the grocery store, it's now $17.50 for what used to be $8.
Right.
It's to the point where the people that have the nuclear family and they have the children to feed, they are throwing their arms up in disgust. I truly believe the people,
the middle class,
and I truly believe the people are starting to wake up when they see this. They're starting to see the invisible enemy.
I hope so.
They're starting to see it, finally. And it's like Dan Bongino was saying, you got to get it. It's got to get worse before they wake up.
Wow.
It's got to get worse. So, and you guys, if you're not seeing it, you got to get away from the mainstream media like the CNNs, the ABCs, the NBCs, and the Alphabet Media and start listening to, I don't know, just real voices. Real American voices. You can start over at Citizens Free Press. You can go to a social networking site. Just make sure that what you're looking at, whether or not it comes from somebody who's trying to get it through to you or somebody who is talking the narrative. The narrative is, first of all, all they can talk about right now is Trump. How bad Trump is. That's the narrative. So, but they still have yet to prove anything. Again, I'm going to go back to what I started to say. they can't really find any crimes on this guy because he was never really a criminal.
They are so afraid of him that he's going to bust
he's
their
never,
palm
he's
wide open.
Nothing like they are. He's nothing like they are.
That's why they hate him.
That's why they can't find any crimes.
Right.
So I'm saying, sure, Donald Trump is not perfect. He has a personality. He may have stumbled here and stumbled there over the years, but there's not a human being in America that hasn't. And if there is, even the pastors get something that they stumble into accidentally and want to later repent for. But see, yeah. Donald Trump, they just can't really find any crimes. And it's contrary to what you're hearing if you're watching mainstream media. Very contrary to what you're hearing. And people like Joe and Mika are salivating. They look like a couple of Klingons that just blew up an enemy warship and watched it explode through the screen there and started salivating. Yeah, we got him. That's what they look like on the Joe and Mika show with this Trump trial.
The real skeletons.
They're the ones. The reason they get like that is because they see what Donald Trump is to them as an enemy, and they see him getting taken down, and they don't really want to know the details. They just
want
to believe it's true.
They just want him down.
They just want him down. They don't. There are. You guys are wondering, are they capable of wanting to hurt the guy? Are you kidding me? If he didn't have the Secret Service or whatever, they would be trying like crazy to hurt the guy. So I pray to God that they will fail on every front when it comes to that. And I don't love a politician. I started to think Mike Johnson might be a good guy to have as speaker, and I learned otherwise. I started to think who would be a good president, and you know, so far, the only one that I've come across since Reagan was Donald Trump.
Yeah.
So I'm still not loving any certain politician, but you know what? Trump is not even a politician. He's a businessman who cared about America. He's seen what was happening.
True.
And he was backed by people that they also attack. You're backing Trump? We're going to get you too. I mean, it's just, it hurts. But at the same time, guys, we can't just go around and lick our wounds and say it hurts. We have to keep on struggling through this. We're going to make sure the people learn a thing or two. And that is why I am doing the American Freedom and God podcast. I absolutely love the fact that in 1962, when I was born, I started to see the world around me as I got a little older, 5 years old, 7 years old, 28, you know, years old, 10 years old, all the way. I started seeing the world around me as, good times, you know. I was raised well. I became a musician in school. I've learned to what the schools were teaching. We all got along. It was an occasional schoolyard, you know, scuffle that would happen, but most of the time, you know, we didn't have these huge protests and try to stand up for some foreign war party, you know, across the other side of the globe. We were all having a great life here in America. And so I put together this podcast because I remember all that and I want to maintain it as much as possible. How do you maintain it as much as possible? You listen to people like Hannity and Glenn Beck and Mark Levin instead of mainstream media, and then you bring it to your mind, and then you bring that to the microphone. So that is how you can get it out to the people. So I just gave you the whole synopsis of why we put together American Freedom of God podcast. So on with
well,
this.
Well, the thing is, John, it's serious. We do it are is, in for a fight serious. For this country because they really want to turn it into a third world country. It's pretty obvious.
Yeah. I'm going to go ahead and play this, guys. Let me pause it. That was a mistake. Sorry about that. I'll edit that out. Let's see what. So you're right, Debbie. We have to do something about it the best we can. We got to just get the word out there that it is not all that you think, guys. I was looking at a post on Getter just this morning, and it kind of caught my eye for one reason and one reason only. If this gets out to people, they will start to realize, even if it's a trickle, you know, a little thing at a time, one thing at a time. This one's climate change, or this one is global warming. Back in the years prior, CNN had on a founder, John Coleman. It says co-founder on the screen. He is the founder of the Weather Channel. If you guys remember the Weather Channel when cable first came out, it was huge. It had a lot of viewers. Weather Channel founder was the first to go on air and explain global warming hoax to CNN. Came out in 2021, and it is funny. Make sure it is shown on all platforms because we need to wake up the millennials. I think it's the millennials, the X people, the G people, whatever. You know, we need to wake them all up. But it's talking about, he's on CNN, and Brian Stelzer is the host, and he's, Rush Limbaugh used to call Humpty Dumpty for one, no, it was John Hannity calls him Humpty Dumpty for one reason or another, because they used to go back and forth on the air. So Humpty Dumpty's on here talking to, John Coleman, the founder of the Weather Channel, and as part of this monologue, I'm just gonna let this play real quick for you.
The founder of the Weather Channel, not the co-founder.
And I'm glad you did, because I am addicted to the Weather Channel. I watch a lot of cable news.
Now, hold on just a minute. I'm not done. And CNN has taken a very strong position on global warming that it is a consensus. Well, there is no consensus in science. Science isn't a vote. Science is about facts. And if you get down to the hard, cold facts, there's no question about it. Climate change is not happening. There is no significant man-made global warming now. There hasn't been any in the past, and there's no reason to expect any in the future. There's a whole lot of baloney, and yes, it has become a big political point of the Democratic Party and part of their platform, and I regret it's become political instead of scientific, but the science is on my side.
I don't think we're going to come to a conclusion about the topic right here. What I do wonder,
well, I know
though, is
we're
when
not
you
because
see
you wouldn't
the...
allow it to happen on CNN, but I'm happy
well,
that I got on the air and got a chance to talk
minutes.
To your viewers. Hello, everybody.
What
there
I
is
do,
no global warming.
What I do wonder is when you see the government, when you see NASA, when you see other institutions say that 97% of climate scientists agree, do you think they're making it up? I, what I don't understand is how you
square
that.
Well, that's a manipulated
that.
Figure, and let me explain it to you. The government puts out about $2.5 billion directly for climate research every year. It only gives that money to scientists who will produce scientific results that support the global warming hypothesis of the Democrat Party of position. So they don't have any choice. If you're going to get the money, you got to support their position. Therefore, 97% of the scientific reports published support global warming. Why? Because those are the ones the government pays for, and that's where the money is. It's real simple. But that doesn't mean it's right. That doesn't make it true. That only makes it bought and paid for. The money goes in circles.
I'm not a scientist, so I'm not going to try to refute
you
on
that's
the facts.
The truth.
I'll simply say that the vast
majority... Please stand back from this issue and let the two sides be on the air.
There you go.
Boy, that's the truth. He said, I'm not a scientist. Old Brian Stelzer there at the end. He
goes, boy, that's the truth. We didn't find him dead after that little interview.
Well, after that interview, what you should have ascertained from that is that what I just said, all these things that are destroying us is done by money.
Yep.
So if the medical community wants everybody on a certain statin drug, then they can pay for the studies that makes it known that you must take this drug to get rid of this condition.
Right.
And all of the studies show that it works. Well, that money paid for those words to get out there onto that screen. Not that it's scientifically true. It's just that the money, well, if you want the money, you got to support what we're telling you to say. You're a scientist, right? I'm going to pay you this much million, and you're going to support what we're telling you to say, even though science is not necessarily where we're going with this.
You know what's so funny, too? Like, just using that as an example. Mm-hmm. All the stuff they told you what was bad, butter, eggs, cheese, meat.
Yeah.
Now we find out your brain needs it, your body needs it, your whole body needed all that. We have all these diseases from lack of because they convinced you not to do that so they could get you on these drugs.
Yeah. It's basically, there are some people who can weather this attack better than others. I've gone through a lot of unexplainable conditions where I didn't understand why this is happening to me, to every part of your everyday livelihood. Something's always seemed to be wrong or didn't feel good. And now I realize why. I realize because all you gotta do is read the ingredients on the back of that box of noodles you're about to buy. Read the ingredients.
Right.
They do this on purpose, people. Mm-hmm. I'm not trying to get all anyway. I'm just going over the facts here that even if I'm not holding up some fact chart from a scientific organization, which might have been paid, obviously. I'm going over what is and what's real. And we see the difference because we're proving it to ourselves.
And not only that, you're talking about it Not to tell people how to think, just to put the idea in their head. Do your own research.
Do your own research.
You know, get off the main things and do some research. And so, the dots are there.
So this is the point I'm trying to make in the monologue. Our government recently had passed a bill in Senate and in the House that puts $60 billion to foreign entities that need help. They didn't provide anything for the border here in America that is being overrun daily. So there's no protection to stop that. The invasion is welcomed by these leaders. And they just smashed and grabbed our money. And we all said no.
Right.
Most of us said no to this.
Right.
But they took it anyway. Chuck Schumer said no. I'm taking it anyway in a bipartisan way with Mitch McConnell. We're going to take this money. And Mike Johnson, if you don't do this, I'm sure somebody warned him somewhere and got to him.
Yeah.
Because he wasn't going to do this either. He understood that this doesn't make sense. The Ukrainian war is not our problem, number one. We are not Ukraine. We are America. Mm-hmm. Nobody declared war on America in that sense, that conventional sense. So why are we spending money on a war that we didn't, that's not an attack on us? Because we like Ukraine. Okay, well, I understand that part, but they keep doing it over and over. More $60 billion, more $60 billion, more $60 billion, and they keep losing the war.
It's a crime grab right now. They're just grabbing money.
I'm pretty sure, guys, what's happening is a big pallet of millions and millions of dollars to the point of $60 billion is physically sitting there, and all the oligarchs come running, maybe even knocking each other out of the way, taking their cut. None of it, literally none of it is going to what they told the American people it's going to. And even if it was, we were saying, nah, that's done anyways. The Ukraine, we were learning that by the experts that are out there watching all this and reporting back to us, and I mean not in the mainstream media, but reporting back to the podcasters like Steve Bannon, reporting back to podcasters like Dan Bongino and some of the top names in radio and TV, such as Mark Levin. And so the reporting back what's really happening over there.
Right.
And we're knowing the truth.
Right.
But the government is pretending they don't know that same truth.
Right. It's like a paid study.
It's a paid You can put it like that.
It's like a paid study.
What I want to drive home here is your government just did a smashing grab on your money and stole it from you.
That's
so
right.
And from your kids. Because, you know, there are like 8 or 10 congressmen and women, senators that would never and could never do this to the American people.
18 voted no.
Okay,
there was 18.
But I mean on every issue when it comes to being an upstanding senator, mm-hmm, or an upstanding representative, they would never and could never do this to the American people.
Right.
No amount of money.
Right.
And so there are a few, but look at how many that would do this to America, and how old they are, and how they don't really care. The future to them is in a coffin anyway.
Yeah, but are they blackmailed? It just doesn't make sense.
They don't care what they do with their money. That's what I'm trying to say. They care not what they do with their money. And none of it's going to infrastructure. None of it's going to being energy independent. None of it's going to complete the wall. I heard Marcus say the other day, Marcus, the Homeland Security chief, when asked, is the border secure? And he said, the border, right now is secure as much as we're capable, to have it secure. That was it. That soundbite ended. And what I wanted to say is, so basically what you're saying is, cause what we're capable of is finishing the wall and blocking everybody out. Basically what you're saying is you've done that. That's not what he's saying.
No.
He's saying it's secure to what we're capable of doing.
No, it's not even capable. It's of what they want to do. Because
exactly.
They're capable of way more.
Now, can you see how he won't own up to, you know, what America is capable of doing is keeping it down to maybe 2 people sneaking in through a tunnel or something each day. They're capable of getting it to that. And he's saying, well, we've got it as secure as we're capable of doing.
And not only
not
that,
even close.
When Trump left office, he had all the materials to finish that wall. They were all bought and paid for. They just needed to finish them.
I know.
Not only did they not use it, they sold all that stuff on 5 cents on the dollar.
So,
I mean, hello?
Everything that you would do to be a sovereign country, like how you would exit a foreign land that you've been occupying because of war, such as Afghanistan, everything that you would do as a sovereign country in a sensible way to make sense of it all and to remain sovereign, they're doing the opposite.
Exactly.
It's from day one, they did the opposite of what keeps us sovereign. And it's beyond scary. It's just leaders who smash and grab and steal from you and tell you, don't even try to stop us. Guys like Chuck Schumer, right. Don't even try to stop me. You got no way. I can get you six ways from Sunday. And that's exactly their attitude. And they end up with kickbacks for sure of it, or they wouldn't be so animate waving a Ukrainian flag on the floor. That we're going to vote this, we're going to pass this, because they all know how much money they're going to get for
it. That was so brazen.
They're printing this money. It doesn't even exist.
That was as brazen as Nancy Pelosi ripping that speech on national TV.
Guys, understand something. Your Democrats talk about democracy and how bad Trump is. The Hillary Clintons that say Trump is going to be the dictator. He's going to kill people. He's going to lock people up. You know, just know that none of that's true. None of that's true. And when he was already in the White House, he didn't do any of that. Just when you listen to Hillary, just know that she's speaking for those who are in that Democratic Party and cannot really, they can't come clean in what they do.
And
they project it.
She's protecting herself.
They can't come clean in what they do. They definitely cannot let you see what they do. So they project it onto Trump instead so that you'll be so scared to vote for him. And that's what their mission is. And, the news media is right along with that mission. If you guys are watching anything on TV, all you're going to get is the Trump trial and the salivating anchors that are watching it along the way, laughing and, you know, making fun of it along. Thinking Trump was looking old, I think Maddow said that or somebody said that recently. So anyway, that's all they care about. I recommend listening to the Glenn Beck Show. You're going to learn a lot of stuff, and his guests are amazing. His guest speakers on the show are amazing people. They bring out truth. And a lot of times, I guess they're risking it all bringing out that truth, but they do. And I recommend also watching the Sean Hannity show or just listen to his radio show after, 3 o'clock in the afternoons. He's on, national radio. It's time to bring up our first soundbite, guys. I need to make sure that, I read a little bit of it first. So Trump put up a post on Truth. We have a rigged judge who is working for the Democrat Party and refuses to terminate this case, which should never have been brought on by soft crime Alvin Bragg. Judge Merchan should immediately be removed, and the appellate courts have to take over. That also applies to corrupt Judge Engron, who knew I did nothing wrong and still fraudulently fined me $500 million anyway while having no knowledge of valuation, finance, or in any way what he is doing. You know, Judge Engron used to be in a rock band. I don't even know how he ended up being a judge. Maybe he's a little sharp mind for law school and he was able to get through the cracks and he ended up with that job and then he got appointed or whatever. But he used to be just another, you know, acting a fool rock and roll guitar player, whatever he did in the band. But anyways, moving on. That's beside the point. Same thing with Judge Kaplan, who allowed a woman who I never met, celebrity photo line does not count, and know nothing about, to get a lawless judgment of $90 million. New York justice is in shambles, and only the appellate courts can save it. A Republican doesn't stand a chance. This is not justice. Trump realizes that they may, even though he didn't do anything wrong, they may say he did. They may try to prove he did. They will rule against him, and they may even lock him up. He realizes all this, and he's doing it anyway. And his support is going to be, it's just going to keep growing. It's not going to stop with this, his support. It's going to keep growing. You know, if you take 335 million people and start supporting one man, it doesn't matter what you did to the man, you're going to lose these people completely as far as a country. You're not going to have anybody to control, if you're trying to take over in that kind of way by persecuting a guy who really didn't do anything wrong. So I have this little soundbite here, also what I was just talking about. I wanted to read from you first. I took some notes along the way. It's a second crime, a dead misdemeanor. This is from Jonathan Turley. He's going to tell you anyway. Everything they said is he did, everything they said he did could be true, but still no crime. So everything they're saying he did could be the truth. He wrote on there business expense. That's true. But it's still not a crime.
Right.
It's still not a crime. They're trying to tell him it's a crime. Eight-year-old charge, statute of limitations is up. The fact that we had to wait for an opening statement from Bragg to even fully articulate what his theory was. Yeah, let's let Jonathan talk to you about that. I'm going to go ahead and play this sound bite. I think I'll come in a minute or two of it since it's a 6-minute long ordeal here. So,
and it's you sort of get your mind around that. Even if everything that they stated is proven to be true factually, all of the, you know, the payment of the non-disclosure agreement, the recording of it in this way, that's not being really that contested because all of that can be true and there would still be no crime. And that's what has left many of us mystified that the judge is letting this get by because we still don't see that legal linchpin. The judge seems to be shrugging and saying, well, it's close enough for jazz. Let's go ahead and let it go to the jury when most of us don't see a crime here.
Well, let me look at this. You have called this an embarrassment. You say you are in utter disbelief. This case never should have been brought. Alan Dershowitz, Andy McCarthy, I mentioned the New York Times op-ed, Mark Levin, Greg Jarrett. And I listened very closely to the opening arguments. They keep talking about a conspiracy to commit. They talk about election fraud, election interference. All these big buzzwords, none of which Donald Trump has even been charged with in this case. And I'm sitting there thinking, beyond the fact the statute of limitations are gone, beyond the fact that the judge donated to the Biden campaign, and there are questions about whether or not he should have recused himself, I believe he should have, beyond the fact that this is 8 years old, beyond the fact that the DOJ law that they're now relying on, because New York state statutes don't cover this, it's only a misdemeanor, even in that case, Biden's DOJ passed on charging Donald Trump because they didn't think it was applicable. You know, how are we here? And it's a venue that is not friendly to Donald Trump. You could still get a guilty verdict out of this jury. That's scary to me.
It is scary, and it's very much in the play here that I think that Bragg is hoping the jury will not look beyond the identity of the defendant. Because, you know, the fact is they're saying, well, you shouldn't have listed this as a legal expense. All right, what is he supposed to list it as? What if he put down nuisance payment? What if he put down settlement of personal embarrassment? Would that really convert this to a non-crime? There wasn't a crime here because this wasn't a federal campaign contribution. The Department of Justice, as you noted, did not see that as a criminal act. They did not charge that. And so once again, you get back to the role of the judge here, that we're going through a trial that seems desperate to find a crime, but you can't even get that from the indictment or the opening statements. The fact that we had to wait for the opening statements for Bragg to even fully articulate what his theory was shows how weak this case really is. And it's only that weakness is only becoming more and more evident every day.
And it's just sad to look at the face of the man that knows better but is doing it anyway is a tough one for me. I can't hardly look at their faces, Debbie. I see demons. You know,
I know. Well, you can. It's all fair. It's because he's running for president and the people know that he's good and he's going to expose these people. That's all it is.
Absolutely hideous. And if you realize that right now, any mainstream media is talking completely the opposite of what Jonathan Turley just explained to you.
Right.
They're talking in ways that you feel like, wow, Trump did a lot of bad things.
Well, they're the
that's how they talk, and they're paid to talk that
way. Exactly.
Even if they don't believe it themselves.
They don't research any of this.
They don't research it. That's one thing people you got to understand is your mainstream media, they're sitting there looking at a teleprompter, and they're looking at a camera. They didn't do any show prep. They just start reading what they have to read. They get paid to do it.
John, they spent more time picking out what they're going to wear in their hair and makeup.
That's right.
They don't do any research on subject matter.
Yeah, it's just sad, sad. So Mark Levin is the truth about protests. He's got a sharp mind when it comes to these historical stuff with the Middle East and the conflicts that's been going on since biblical days in the Middle East. You know, Israel was God's people in the Bible, and Israel still is God's people. I know there are a lot of Israelis right now that may not see it that way, but it originated from being the Israelites and God's people. They had no home. When they established Israel, then, well, they already had established it, but ended up with no home. Then they went, ended up in the desert, and then in 1942, they ended up back in the state of Israel. It was reinstated. So, Mark is really sharp about history like that, and he can tell you things about that that you're not going to hear anywhere else. It's not going to be on a teleprompter of your MSNBC daily news station. So that's why I listed Mark as one of the recommended listening for your own training, for your own learning. Remember, everybody should learn politics in America right now. It's imperative that you understand politics. So what do I mean? Well, you have to take the course. Start with listening to these podcasts, and I recommend these certain names for a reason. And then if you want to, go over to MSNBC and cross-reference everything you just learned from, say, Sean Hannity's show. Cross-reference it now over at MSNBC. See what they're saying and start to see in your own mind who's real and who isn't. Start to learn that. Then you'll also be able to understand as you hear names from Congress and you hear names from attorney generals and you hear the names of mayors and you start to hear the names and what it is their policies are, governors, like the governor of Michigan or whatnot. When you start, the governor of California, you start to hear their names and what their policies are. Now you're starting to learn something about politics. Now you're starting to see the polarized partisanship that goes on in politics and their motivations.
And right. What they're actually doing. What you're being told what they're doing.
And when that light clicks on in your head, you start to realize now you can go about each day understanding what's really happening.
Right.
Instead of just hearing the teleprompter in your ears.
Instead of just listening right. to Joe tell you.
So he's talking about these protesters at Columbia a little bit here, and he's also talking about other colleges. And all I got to say is, do you guys think that these young kids that you know they're kids still, even though they're in college, but they're young? Do you think that they're really just protesting because they're that passionate about a protest? Wouldn't they rather just get to class and do shop and do what their major? Wouldn't they rather just kind of go about their day than stay out there and do all that? Here's the thing. Money. Money pays for the deterioration of this country. Money pays for the unrest. Soros backed money. Everybody's backed money pays for this stuff. Same thing with riots.
You know what's interesting? When you look at those crowds, everybody's masked. Everybody's got weird stuff.
You can't see who they are.
So you don't even know if they're college students. These are paid activists. That, mm-hmm. I had this conversation with one of my family members back during the Floyd stuff where they said it was peaceful.
Right.
They have paid activists, mm-hmm. I mean professionals, that go into the crowd because you have these young people that mm-hmm. are passionate. You know, they're easily emotional, and then they activate them, and they start them. And the next thing you know, it boils into something. Mm-hmm. They didn't even come up with this. These activists, these paid professionals,
they're paid to stir
instigated
up.
The thing.
What they're doing is they're purchasing a hornet's nest and putting it wherever they want. And for whatever reason
they everybody's want. Masked, so you can't tell who's
right.
who.
Let's listen in to what Mark's talking about.
In reality, the radical cadres are bankrolled by the same nexus of progressive oligarchs and dark money, that is, dark money slush funds that finance the party establishment. The DNC protest, for example, was organized by two progressive Jewish NGOs, Jewish Voice for Peace and If Not Now, the same groups behind a rowdy pre-ceasefire protest at the U.S. Capitol, which more than 300 people were arrested. Both groups are funded by an array of big money progressive donors, including George Soros, the Rockefeller Brothers Foundation, and the Tides Network. These are charitable wings of major financial institutions as well, part of Vanguard, Fidelity, Morgan Stanley, another group called 1630 Fund, another big group called Arabella Advisors, an umbrella group, a Democrat Party, billionaire, millionaire group, the head of the octopus that pushes monies into these organizations. Soros, of course, is the most prominent individual Democrat donor in the country. He personally spent $170 million to get Democrats elected in 2022 midterms. His nonprofit spent at least another $140 million. Arabella Advisors is less well-known, but maybe just as influential. It's run by Clinton World insider Eric Kessler. The for-profit consultancy manages a vast and opaque empire of funds and nonprofits aligned with the Democrat Party. Its role, in essence, is to allow wealthy donors to hide their donations. And they're hiding hundreds of millions of dollars worth. Scratch a nationally prominent pro-Palestinian organization, and you're likely to find Democratic oligarch money somewhere. The radicals and the Democratic establishment work together towards shared ends, even when they're fighting. This is especially true when it comes to Israel. The Biden administration's allegedly pro-Israel stance is more rhetoric than reality, a pose adopted to box critics into a corner, constrain Israel's ability to act independently of the United States.
Okay, so we're running out of time, but he does go on to talk about how these protests are all paid by these people that you just heard where it's coming from.
Right.
And it's on purpose. You know, these kids don't even realize what the Palestinian people are, or the history of them, or any of the conflicts that's going on, who started it. They don't realize any of that. They just put on the scarves and act the way they act. And, you know, you're right. Most of them are paid to do it. They're probably not even a college student. So this is all a hornet's nest that's been bought and purchased by these billionaire NGOs coming out of Jewish communities. And we've learned a lot about NGOs in the last few episodes of this podcast. So guys, continue listening to Mark Levin's Rewind right here. This is a podcast rewind from April 23rd, which was yesterday, 2024. Listen to the whole thing, guys. It's like an hour long, and you're going to get so informed. You're going to be like, you should never look at these protesters and say, you know, I get their compassion until you hear this first.
Right.
You should never look at any of it and get it, like you might say, until you get this first.
You know, unfortunately, you know? They should arrest some of these young, stupid kids. And
they do.
And put an end to it because
they broke it up. They did break it up. They finally broke it up. You know, I get the feeling that there are, like, when the majority of your leaders in that community, the mayors, the governors, the boards of the city or whatever, when the majority of them are the Democratic arm of the Democratic Party and they don't care about anything else and they just lockstep do this stuff, I get the feeling there's always a handful of others that would never and could never confess to being one of them. And it's those handfuls that step up and start demanding action. Let's get over there. And they did. They broke up all those people. They got them out of their tents. They ripped their tents out. That pulling tents would still have people in it. They drug them out of there. And that's just what has to happen sometimes. You got to have a handful of opposition in order to even survive anymore. Because if everybody's lockstep with the demise of America, then what's going to happen? It's going to be another third world country where where you're told what to do. It's socialism and communism.
Yeah. Real quick.
Period. And you're not going to be allowed to eat what you want to eat. You're not going to be allowed to spend money the way you want to spend money if it ever turns into that.
You know, so everyone should go to a third world country. Go out. There you go. Around,
yeah,
walk
right.
The street. See how you feel. And then when you come back to this country, see what they put you through to get back in through customs.
Mm-hmm.
We're an illegal. Come on in.
Yeah. I would not want to go to a third world country after all the documentaries I've watched. And, you know, these are people that go there and bring cameras and talk about it. And
it's scary.
I don't want to go there.
I've been there. It's
scary. We got to do a hope message, guys, an American Freedom and God podcast. So we are believers, and I encourage anyone listening to be a believer. But, you know, if you're here and you're on the fence whether or not there's a God, I understand. And you know, let's just be open-minded. Let us be friends still. And what we'll do is we'll go ahead and play these hope messages for a couple minutes each time we do the show. And then we'll end it with a nice health segment coming up with Dr. Sten Ekberg. Guys, I wanted to mention that this is Greg Laurie, and his title is The Refreshment of the Spirit in Times of Trial. Greg's going to make some fine points coming from a godly point of view.
Have you ever been working on your computer and things sort of freeze? and I have a little bar I'll tap trying to wake my computer up, and sometimes it won't wake up. I may have to restart it, reboot it, and effectively refresh it. In the same way in our lives as Christians, sometimes we find ourselves, well, a little bit down, a little bit frozen. We're not living the way we ought to be. It's not working as well for us. We're struggling spiritually. That is not a 21st century phenomenon. Way back when, the psalmist wrote these words in Psalm 42, "My heart is breaking as I remember how it used to be." Can someone here say those words maybe today, describing their life? There was a time when you were stronger spiritually than you are today. And so you say, "I remember how it used to be." And then the psalmist continues, "I walked among the crowds of worshipers, leading a great procession to the house of God, singing for joy and giving thanks." But then he honestly admits this. So why am I discouraged? Why is my heart so sad? And that can happen to any of us. You can be in the middle of a worship service. You find yourself down. You're discouraged. You're sad. And I love it because in the middle of a psalm, he corrects himself. And he says, "I will put my hope in God. I'll praise him again, my Savior and my God." Sometimes I do that. I preach to myself. I'll be thinking something, I'm down about this or concerned about that or something else. And I'll even say, "Greg, shut up." I'm very close to myself, so I can talk that way to myself. "Greg, shut up. The Bible says," and sometimes I'll quote the Bible out loud to myself to sort of write my course. Have you ever done that? Then the psalmist continues and says, "As the deer longs for streams of water, so I long for you, O God. I thirst for God, the living God." Here's what he's saying. I need some spiritual refreshment. And that's something God wants to give to every one of us. Remember, in our last message, we mentioned Ephesians 5, where Paul says, "Be filled with the Spirit, speaking to yourself in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your hearts to the Lord." In the original Greek, that is a command. So the Lord is saying, "I command you to be filled with the Spirit." Also in the Greek, it speaks of something that's continuous. In other words, the Lord is saying, "I command you each and every day to be filled, refilled, and filled again with the Holy Spirit."
And one of the reasons that I could figure that God allows hardship, because he could intervene. There could be zero hardship on earth if he wanted it that way. He could appear in the sky, make everybody know he's real. Start throwing lightning bolts and say, "Either be happy and do good, or that's it for you. I had a fallen angel already. We call him Satan now. You want to go where he's going?" God could do that if he wanted to, but he doesn't. The main reason is he wouldn't get any glory. The humans would be like the angels. They know of him. But see, the humans don't know of him. The angels do know of him. The angels were created first. Then the human spirit was created. The human spirit was created on and of the earth. The angels were created in heaven. So there's no glory if you can't get your creation to believe of you. If you can get them to believe of you, you are glorified. That's why he doesn't appear in the sky. That's why he doesn't talk to you in your ear. I mean, there's some people here, some things, you know, there's a lot of great stories that what God has done, but why does he allow hardship? One of the reasons is because it wakes you up and it makes you, as you're gnashing of teeth, as you're wailing and rolling around the floor in hardship and crying out, you finally look to the sky and say, "God, are you there? I need you." That's why he allows hardship, for you to have that waking moment one day. You know, the believer goes to heaven when they pass. And we lost a lot of loved ones. Debbie has, I have, you guys listening might have. Pretty much everybody's lost somebody, a grandma, a grandfather, a best friend. If they're believers, they go to heaven. They go to heaven and they would not come back to the earth if the angels asked them, "Would you like to?" They would say, "No way. I want to stay right here. This is where I want to be." It's bliss. It's absolute bliss. The earth is not. So just knowing that is one good reason that you just live here and fight the good fight until it's your day to go to that heaven and know that that's where you're going. The people that say, there's no God, then, you know, you can try to show them reasons why God is real. And I do that in my book, Making Time for God. It's a three booklet series. And book one, book two, and book three exist on Amazon today by John P. Fox, Making Time for God. And I show a lot of illustrations of how God got through to me. And it's real time, just witnessing what exactly God had done and the scenario that was happening at the time when he did it and exactly how it all worked out and some of the visions I saw. It's all in those books. But it is now time to get on to the health segment. One of the reasons it's important that we add an almost irrelevant segment to this podcast was that, first of all, I'm kind of outside of the box in most podcasters. So if you haven't figured that out already. And the other reason is, it's getting worse, guys, whether or not people are getting the right kind of foods to eat. They want you to think that vegetables is where it's at. And that if you want to be healthy and you don't want to be fat, you want to have big old gorders, you know, in the wrong place, you got to eat vegetables and get rid of the meats and the butters and the eggs and the cheeses and eat these vegetables and you'll be fine. You'll be better than ever before. But in truth, we need a balance between the amino acids, the magnesiums, the properties that comes from animals and animal foods. We need to balance that with the properties that comes from the plants. So you want to eat a little bit of both, but don't cut out either one or the other completely in thinking that, well, it's what they said on the news, so I'm going to listen to that and you're going to get thinner and prettier. It's just not going to work that way for most people. Now, there are exceptions. So I brought along a little soundbite to play for you about that very subject. And I think we got time enough to play a couple minutes. This is Dr. Sten Ekberg, top 10 foods high in magnesium that you need to eat. Let's go ahead and listen in.
Absorb and utilize. But then when you look at different food tables, it doesn't look like it would be that difficult to get a few hundred milligrams of magnesium. Too often we get a one-sided message as if only plants had nutrients, and nothing could be further from the truth. Animal products are the most complete in nutrients, and when it comes to magnesium, they're actually pretty good sources. Hello, health champions. Today we're going to talk about the top 10 foods that are high in magnesium. And you really want to watch this video carefully, because not only is magnesium critically important, it serves so many different functions, but it's also very difficult to absorb, and most people are deficient. Not only that, but I learned some very, very surprising things as I researched this in terms of which foods will actually be the best sources of magnesium. So magnesium is a mineral that acts as a cofactor, as a catalyst in over 300 enzymatic reactions. And there are so many different types of reactions, such as building things, the synthesis of protein and DNA. It's involved in energy production. It's involved in muscle function and in nerve conduction. So the heart, of course, depends on both muscles and nerve signals. It is a component of bone, so it's involved in building the tissue, but also in the regulation of the buildup and breakdown of bone. It is critical for mental health and mood regulation, and also involved in glucose and insulin regulation. So it's involved in metabolic functions as well. So there's hardly anything that happens in the body where magnesium doesn't play a part. And the recommended daily intake for men is about 400 to 420 milligrams. And for women, it's about 310 to 320. But then there are a lot of things in our modern lifestyle that makes it more difficult to absorb and utilize. And just a few of those would be things like stress and caffeine and preservatives and all kinds of different chemicals. Medications can affect it. And as we age, we don't absorb it as effectively. And then, of course, if you have any sort of gastrointestinal issue, which so many people have today. So because all these different factors can make it more difficult to utilize magnesium, most people who work in the functional medicine field, who do blood work and actually monitor these things, they suggest that we need probably between 500 and 600 milligrams a day. But then when you look at different food tables, it doesn't look like it would be that difficult to get a few hundred milligrams of magnesium. But here's where we need to start understanding this a little more carefully. You can't just look at a typical table and say that, oh, well, look, milk has 24 milligrams, salmon has 25, and you go down the list, chicken has 30, spinach has 79, oats have 125, Brazil nuts 376, and hemp is the superstar at 700 milligrams. Because there are two critical factors that we need to understand in terms of how much we're actually ingesting and how much we are absorbing.
Okay, right there. So you digest much of the magnesium that you consume when you eat these foods that he's mentioned, milk, salmon, chicken, spinach, oats, Brazil nuts. That's the two critical factors. You guys can go to YouTube and just type in Dr. Sten Ekberg, watch the rest of this, 10 foods high in magnesium that you need to eat. Because, again, we're digesting a lot of it. So we're not getting the milligrams that we think we're getting just by looking at the list.
And we're not absorbing.
We're not absorbing
it. That's what he's saying.
Yeah, and I think that happens, too, with some of these supplemental vitamins that we take. Like, when you have to go, you can kind of see that, oh, wow, man, it's like a different color, you know, because the vitamin didn't actually go into your bloodstream. It ended up going through your kidney instead.
Right.
So we got to know that if you're consistent, you'll eventually absorb the amount that you need of whatever it is you take it. And that all depends too. So there's a lot of factors here, guys. What we want you to take away from this health segment on the podcast is that men need to eat foods that are not only high in magnesium, but high in amino acids, so that you're strong enough to pick up something heavy without it hurting, without it breaking your back. You need your aminos. You need your testosterone. You're a man. You need that. And then women, you know, they need the estrogen. They need the things that women need in order to be healthy, to reproduce, to live a happy life, not to be running to the doctor every day. So it's easy to figure out. You can go to and subscribe to people like Sten Ekberg, Dr. Eric Berg, and both of those two right there, just for starters, will keep you busy for the next year learning about this stuff. And what we have to watch out for is institutions that tell us that you should not eat these things.
Right, and to have this pill to take care of it.
Exactly, this pill will take care of it instead. And we are inventing.
Right, bioengineering.
bioengineering something for you. And believe me, this is way better than eating the pork, you know,
right,
or
right.
Way better than eating the milk and cheese. So be careful not to fall for that, guys. And I can say that as a non-doctor, because what I am learning comes from professional people with doctorate degrees. They're not just flabbing the lips out of high school.
And you see it in your own health, don't you?
And you see it in your own health. Oh, I absolutely see it
right.
in my own health.
I mean, that's the ultimate test.
I have gained muscle mass in the past year that I haven't had since very young, in my 20s, where I was working out all the time and playing on a football team and stuff. I was pretty stout back then. Also, when I my brother-in-law put me to work in the rock patch for a while, swinging a rock hammer. But we used to get $50 a day just for a couple hours work breaking rocks. I mean, I was stout during them times.
Well, I can't be too easy.
Once you learn how to do it, it ain't so bad, but you're constantly picking up that sledgehammer
right. For
hours. And so I used to be pretty stout. Well, that's back.
Yeah.
So I'm feeling it. I mean, there's not a job around here that I'm afraid to do, but I've been doing it for a long time too. So in my defense there. Not everybody's cut out for vigorous type work. You gotta take that into account. Keep that in the back of your mind. But if you do, I'm just eating eggs, I'm eating meat, getting the right kind of foods, I'm eating salads.
Olive oil.
If you do include these things, if you're a man and you want to be a man, which I can only hope you would, you're going to get stout.
And the amino
acids. That's where it's, I'm gaining bicep mass. I'm gaining pecs mass. I'm gaining mass in the legs, the thighs. And it's all coming from these amino acids. And I feel stronger.
And you know what's interesting, John? You're not young anymore.
You're not young anymore.
People our age.
I'm 62 years old.
Yeah, they need to know this.
I expect that another year from now, I'm going to really be ripped. If I keep going away, I'm working out, and I'm going to get ripped. You know, I'm going to look like Tom Fitton from Judicial Watch. I've seen some 70-year-old guys that absolutely ripped.
Yeah.
Completely. All, every muscle was showing. And with no shirt on. And so since we live close to the beach or wherever we move to, there's always going to be a beach somewhere. I want to look good on that beach.
There you go.
That's about it for today's episode, guys. I hope you enjoyed it with me and Debbie today. And we're going to do this again next week in the American Freedom and God podcast. So guys, I wanted to be, before I check out here, I want to make sure you know where to subscribe to this podcast. The website is johnpfox.com. It's that simple. There's only seven letters. John P. Fox, all one word. And it's .com. And when you get there, just look for the link in the header there that says subscribe to the podcast. Click that and go ahead and put your username and password in there or however it works. I think you just subscribe by ticking the link and you start getting a feed sent to your you got to give it your email. So do that. And also on the homepage, you get the latest episode right there at the top. You can do this on your phone. It doesn't matter that I'm showing you on a desktop computer. Also, if you don't want to go to johnpfox.com to subscribe because you're always going doing it on Apple iTunes or wherever, then we're also there. We send out the feed to this podcast, and you can get the MP3 on Apple. You can get the MP3 on many of the other platforms. Over here in the sidebar shows one, iHeartRadio podcast. So the American Freedom and God podcast is on iHeartRadio, Apple iTunes, and a list of others. So, but when you click subscribe to the podcast, it's going to show you the whole list of everywhere this podcast is out there. Guys, I'm asking you to subscribe and bring friends, because when you do that, it allows us to continue to get this message out. It allows me to also bring on board maybe a sponsor or two. However, I don't mind sponsoring it in the meantime along the way. Also, when you're over at the website, don't forget over in the link, Great Portfolio. I got some cool songs you can listen to. I got some art and photography that I did over the years. I graduated as an artist from Oklahoma State, so it's kind of the thing that I've been doing, you know, back in the day, and a lot of it showed up right here on shows up on the website. So it'd be nifty for you to come in, check it out, listen. But if nothing else, subscribe to the podcast American Freedom and God. We're not out to try and shoot anybody down, unlike what the Democrats do to, you know, the opposition, which in this case is the presidential primary, you know, nominee. And it's just, it's sad. So what we try to do is we try to make you aware of that without forcing it on you. Okay? We're not about that. We'll do it again next week. But until then, goodbye. This has been the American Freedom and God podcast. Join us every week for the latest episodes. Please subscribe, rate, and review the series. Visit us and comment on a blog post at johnpfox.com. Happy listening, and remember to always show your awesome. Bye. Ha ha ha!